All right, welcome back. Just 2 weeks ago, we were talking about trials, Curtis.
Yep.
And now we're going to be talking about the big final, Ed Burke Million on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll come back. Another super competitive final here for the Ed Burke. We had a pretty good final there in the kindergarten fraternity. I'm pretty excited to see a lot of the same runners come back, and we got some new shooters here. It'll be good.
I think it's a very competitive field, obviously, but it's also a very competitive race because where Wicked Affair drew. Wicked Affair drew on the far outside, and we've seen how well this horse took to the outside in the kindergarten.
Yep.
And so that's going to make the race that much more interesting, and deservedly so. Ed Burghardt landed Wicked Affair as your 2-1 boy night favorite. So we'll talk more about the futurity later on when we get through all of the races. Nine race program on Sunday night, and it obviously concludes with the Ed Burke. But before we do that, I wanted to touch back. It seems that now we're in NBA offseason, but it's not like it's become a lot more exciting than the actual finals to keep up with all the news stories going on Twitter and media. But I wasn't a believer that Kawhi was going to leave, but now it's official. Supposedly, Popovich went to meet with Kawhi. He said, "Don't even try. I'm not coming back. I want to leave."
Really?
So that's the late. Like, it's been pretty much confirmed that Kawhi's out of San Antonio.
See, I hadn't seen any of the news today. I'd been watching where either kind of mixed stories whether the Lakers had reached out to the Spurs yet. And then there was, of course, the other side where they're like, oh, Lakers now reached out to the Spurs with offers. Then it was Jerry West coming out saying, you know, don't rule out the Clippers. And I mean, anytime Jerry West can set his sights on something, he can be a really good mentor and have some pretty attractive deals. So it's still up in the air where he's going to come. He could be on your Clippers. You never know.
I mean, the Clippers cleared the Griffin contract. They cleared Chris Paul. And I think DeAndre's a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
So there's money there on the table. There's, for the first time in a lot of years, Doc Rivers actually played a lot of the rookies last year,
mm-hmm.
and they played pretty well. There were two or three of them that actually played pretty well.
Yeah, it's not like when he started putting in the young guys, they tanked.
Exactly, no.
And I think that's what everybody expected.
Yeah, so, you got to give him credit. The Clippers hung on, and that's what I'm saying. When people say, oh, Paul George, he's an L.A. guy, he wants to just, everybody just talking about the Lakers,
mm-hmm.
but like Kawhi now basically saying he's not going to stay in the Spurs. I don't think Popovich is going to trade him to the Lakers, no matter what kind of package he gets.
Yeah, I don't really know what Pop is going to do. Some people are saying there's no way that he would, trade him to the West and any team that he's probably going to go to the East. But, I don't see Pop as holding grudges, no matter how relationships soured. He just does, he seems like he's going to make the smartest trade.
Yeah, whatever he can get. Yeah,
and. In the future, he just wants to beat Kawhi, so he doesn't care where he goes.
What do you think the Lakers can offer to get Kawhi?
I mean, they have a lot of young talent. A couple of their guys I really like, but everybody's saying one of the pieces is Julius Randle, and I really love him
because
he seems like he brings a toughness to the team.
Who would you want to keep no matter what, Randle or Ingram?
Oh, God, that's tough. I mean, I think Ingram last year kind of broke out of the pack and became the leader of the Lakers. He had a couple of good games against Kevin Durant, which he put up good numbers, and he seems like he should be the cornerstone moving forward. So I would probably, of those two, I would get rid of Randle.
Yeah, so do they have any future picks, Lakers, that I can think of? Because they can do Lonzo, someone else, and a pick for Kawhi?
My buddy, who's a Philly fan, he was telling me that I think they traded one of their high picks away to Philadelphia.
Okay.
So maybe that's maybe they can't offer that high enough. And I don't know how well the market is for Lonzo. I mean, you see his brother didn't even get.
I know.
It seems like everybody just wants to steer clear of the Ball family. So we may be stuck with them. But, it seems the players connected to it are Kuzma, Randle, Ingram. So.
Yeah. You think they'll get rid of Lonzo?
I If it's good enough, I think, yeah, they'll get rid of him.
Everyone's on the table at this point.
Yeah.
Because you got LeBron, you got Kawhi, you got Paul George.
Yeah, when you're bringing in the premier talent, and I think you can get rid of Lonzo, who, you know, is kind of still on the fence of whether, you know, he can lead and whether he can produce. So, you know, his shot was pretty rough. So if you have to give him up to get Paul George or LeBron, you know, pack your bags.
But I agree with you that I think Ingram is the one they'll think two or three times about before making a switch.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the one guy they want to keep.
Yeah.
Because that's the only one that I think they wouldn't be okay with, like, let me think about it. But everyone else, if, you know, Kawhi is available and they're like, hey, we want this one and this one, take them.
Yeah. It's just weird being in the situation where we had a lot of decent young prospects, yeah. I think. You know, when you had Clarkson and Nance, you know, that went away to Cleveland, I think there was a good young core there that maybe could have, you know, been something going forward if you give them a little time to develop. But once LeBron's out there on the table and Kawhi, I think you got to make a move.
I still can't wrap my head around how average Clarkson and Nance looked in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I mean, over here, they looked pretty solid.
Yeah.
They looked like solid basketball players.
Yep.
And they just looked so average in Cleveland.
It seems like Cleveland's putting a little more trust in Nance. I think they've told him, you know, now that LeBron's probably leaving, I think they reached out to him, said, you know, you're going to be a bigger piece moving forward. But yeah, they were underwhelming there in Cleveland. I was still rooting for them, even though they went on another team. But yeah, they didn't really show up there in the playoffs too much.
So we'll see what happens. But the offseason has become a lot more interesting now. Now it feels like there's no break because you're, you know, the finals are done. And now the trades, the offseason just becomes a lot more interesting because of social media. So it's fun. It's fun to catch up on all the things. I think Kawhi's coming to the West no matter what. I think if he gets traded to the East, he finds his way back to the West some way or another. So, but I think the Clippers are going to make a big move. I think they are. Whether they get one of the, you know, LeBron wants to be in L.A. doesn't necessarily mean he wants to be in the Lakers.
Yeah.
Because Lakers, you got a lot of history there. You got Kobe, the most recent superstar. You got all those championships with him and Shaq. Does he really want to come here? And let's say he doesn't get the support he wanted and he just chases a Lakers championship ring in 2 or 3 years and doesn't get it, then he just becomes another story in the chapter. But if he goes to the Clippers, he instantly becomes the greatest Clipper in a year or two in the history of the team.
That was kind of my thinking why he wouldn't go to the Lakers and choose the Clippers, because then he wouldn't have to worry
about the shadows.
About, you know, his jersey hanging up with Kobe and Magic and all that. He could go and he could start his own thing there with the Clippers.
And that's the thing that was been circling in my head, because if you come to the Lakers and you're not successful in 1, 2, 3 years or whatever he might come here, then a lot of people are going to be like, oh, Kobe had more bums around him and he still got one ring. LeBron couldn't do it, blah, blah. I just think there's a lot more downside.
Yeah.
But if he goes to the Clippers, he'll instantly become the greatest Clipper in 2 or 3 years if he takes him to the finals or whatever it might be.
Yeah, and I go back to what I said about just Jerry West being in there. I think
huge.
He's going to be there and say, LeBron, come in. We're going to get you all the pieces that we can.
When the logo is involved, you got to pay attention. And speaking of what to pay attention for, we got the daytime thoroughbred meet here at Los Alamitos kicking off in 6 short days. We're recording this on Friday. On June 28th, Thursday, is opening day, through July 15th, with a special Wednesday program on July 4th. So usually it's Thursday through Sunday, but there's that one special Wednesday on Wednesday, July 4th, that they're going to race. But the interesting part about July 4th, they also have a handicapping contest for Vegas, for the National Horse Players Championship on July 4th. So on a Wednesday, you can qualify to Vegas here at Los Al. That's going to be fun. And shout out to Dave Weaver. I just seen a tweet from him. He played the contest today at Santa Anita. He finished second.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. So he qualified to Vegas today at Santa Anita.
Oh, every time he goes to Vegas, doesn't he have some hectic schedule yes. where he's like flying in and out and making picks and just weird. He just likes to be there, and it's good to have somebody, you know, that's always on air.
Yeah,
you know, doing well. You know, some people always like to knock and say that they can't do it, but there you have Weaver qualifying to the tournament. So.
If there's a guy that doesn't need an excuse to go to Vegas, it's Weaver. It's Weaver. He basically every time I talk to him, he's like, "I'm going to Vegas like in a couple of weeks." If you add up all the times he goes to Vegas throughout the year, I'm pretty sure he's averaging a trip to Vegas at least once a month.
Yeah, Weaver, he definitely is just a fan of the game, and he likes to fire wherever.
Yes.
I'll come here, you know, sometimes to do entries or pick something up, and I'll see Weaver in the clubhouse. He's got his Steelers jersey on, and he's making bets in there. So, yeah, he just loves to fire away.
And speaking of the Thurbert season, a change to the wagering menu. The pick fours are now going to become a dollar minimums, which we're used to over the nighttime because that's what it's always been.
Yeah.
And we've always said that we love the dollar minimums because if you only beat one favorite, you're going to get paid already.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to look at it. It's not like there's an abundance of 10, 12, 8, 9, 10, 11 horse fields.
No.
And I was always mentioning this, that changing that minimum could produce a lot better payouts when you catch a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 to 1 shot in a 4-horse sequence. So I don't know what it's going to do to the pools, but at that point, the pools are pretty good already. That at this point, I'm definitely going to play them more.
Yeah, there's been some controversy, you know, whether, you know, people have said the pros and cons about both sides, but you know, we're used to playing the dollar pick four, so, you know, it's nothing new to us. People are really knocking it, saying, you know, the 50-cent wager was a way to bring in new fans, but I would say that the pick four isn't something for new fans.
No.
I would say when you're just win breaking play show. In, win yeah. play show, that's where you want to do it, and you work your way up, so I really don't like that, you know, as an argument against it, but I agree. I think it could lead to some bigger payouts, you know, people really having to narrow their tickets down, and you really have to find the price in there. You can't be spreading out like you used to. So I think it'll encourage better handicapping as well.
I do. I agree. And so I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good thing to check out, and maybe, you know, because during the 50-cent pick fours, you find a 10-to-1 shot, you're still hoping you beat another favorite along the way to get paid something.
Yeah.
Now this way, you're like, whoa, I created some separation. So, you know, fair arguments from a lot of people on Twitter that said, I don't really like it. Some people are like, I love it. I'm going to play more. There's some people that said, I don't really play LaSalle. Now I'm going to play it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that are like, I used to play LaSalle all the time. Now I'm really going to play the pick fours. Well, it goes both ways. So we'll see where it goes. The 50-cent early pick five, low takeout, it's still there. Nothing changes. It's just about the pick fours, the early one and the late one. So that's basically the main change for the daytime season. And did you come out?
Oh, I was living 5 minutes from, you know, I always come out a few days. This coming up right off the bat, I'm actually going to be in Colorado visiting the in-laws.
Nice.
For the first time, I'm going over there to meet them.
So first time?
Yeah. My wife's father recently retired and moved from Buena Park back to where he was originally from in Colorado, so we're going there all week long, so I'll miss that first week, but you know, I always make it out, and I like to come and just be a fan again and like to hang out with everybody.
Is there cell phone signal, and will you be having are you able to wager on your phone out there?
You know, last time
I'm worried about you.
When we went to Walt Disney World, everybody crashed out at like, I don't know, like 10 o'clock.
Yeah,
you know,
and East Coast time.
Yeah, so with the difference, so I was just sitting in bed, and I was watching LaSalle, but yeah, this time it doesn't sound like there's going to be a whole, you know, it's in the mountains, not going to be signal. I don't know about the Wi-Fi.
Wow.
Yeah, it sounds like I'm going to be roughing it for a week.
What day of the week are you leaving and what day are you coming back?
We're going to leave on Monday,
okay.
And I think we're going to come back Monday. So it's a whole week stay.
Man, that's a double header you're going to miss out on, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah, I'm not looking too forward to it because my wife has explained there's not a whole lot to do out there. And so I'm just kind of biting my tongue.
How far are you from Arapahoe Park? Is it anywhere there?
I actually looked it up. I was like, oh, maybe we can go to Arapahoe. Yeah, yeah. It's like 5 hours.
Oh, never mind. So you're like in the other side.
Yeah, it's on the eastern part of Colorado, and Arapahoe is more toward the west. Oh. So yeah, no chance of that happening.
Man, I'll be thinking of you.
Keep me in your prayers, yes, everybody.
I will. That's gonna be a long trip. So hopefully you have a good trip there with your wife and then Lola there.
Yeah, we're gonna be. I think it takes like.
So you're driving it?
Yeah, we're driving. Okay. Because I think the nearest airport is Denver, and it's hours away. So we'd have to fly in and then rent a car, and
I was thinking about pointless. Yeah.
Yeah. So and they drive all the time. Yeah. So she's used to it. So we're just gonna, you know, take time splitting the driving duties, and we'll be out there Monday night.
Do you like driving during the nighttime or daytime?
You know, it doesn't really matter to me. I'd probably prefer night, you know, because you can really just set it on cruise control and just listen to the radio. But, you know, it really doesn't matter to me.
Okay. So you plan on leaving like early a.m.?
Or like... Yeah. she's got it all planned out. I'm just along for the ride.
That's going to be fun. All right. So we'll keep you in our thoughts there. Hopefully you make it through the week.
Yeah, it might be tough. I hear fishing is the big adventure on the way. So.
Not bad.
That'll be fun. I don't think I've been fishing in like 20 years. So.
All right. Send me pictures of your catch.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. All right, let's take a look at Sunday's program, Nine Range Program, like we mentioned, highlighted by the Edberg Milling Futurity. Race 1, 4 furlongs, not 4.5, 4 furlongs, claiming 2,500s for fillies and mares 3 years and up. So it's an open claimer, so you're going to see a lot of horses that have come up maybe out of some tougher races, but overall a few of these have raced against each other, and that rate makes the race a little bit more interesting. Who did you end up taking in this race?
I went with the chalk right off the bat. I went with the evening again. Yeah. The 5, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of strategy in this one. I think just the 4, 5, and 1 are all going to be shooting out there to the front. But the 5 has beaten the 4 and the 1 before. So I went with the 5 on top just because they've been running against better races. I like the last 2 outs at 4 furlongs, and I think it'd be tough again.
And last time out, excuse me, I made BG, Secret Crab, my lock of the night. And even again, got the job done last night at that time, excuse me. And they're drawn literally the same kind of post positions as last time out. And even again, was able to outbreak, crossover, and that was pretty much the race. That looks like it's going to set up the same. So I agree with you. I'll give the edge here for BG to evening again, excuse me. But I'll go 5-4-1. I think Celeste Princess can make the race interesting from the rail. I was visually impressed with that win last time out in front of Irish and Lucky, who came back to win next time out. So I thought it was a better-than-looked win for Stellan's Christmas. So I'll make her the third choice on paper. I think she can make the race very interesting if the 5 or the 4 don't break on top. So I'll go 5-4-1.
Yeah, I went 5-1-4, all the same reasons. Stellan's Princess, I just didn't think the group was as strong.
Yeah.
As this one is, but I do like, you know, Yanette along the rail. She's been really good on the turn races. And Big G Secret Crab, I think it's good for this horse to be, you know, going the 4 furlongs, but it seems to have been regressing the last 3. So I went 5-1-4.
All right, so that's race 1. Race 2, the second half of the early double. You got 870-yard allowance, non-winners of 2 lifetime, compact field of 6. And this is where I made my lock of the night. I would have made Provodivnik. How do you pronounce that? I forget.
Oh, is that the Paul Jones?
Yeah.
Provodnikov?
Provodnikov. There you go. I forget. You
know I'll go with my gringo pronunciation.
Provodnikov. I searched it up. He's a boxer, like a Russian boxer.
Oh, okay. Right? That's who they named it after.
Yeah. I think that's why they named it. But that's the last name of a boxer, I believe, Russian. But if that horse would have been their second choice on the morning line, I would have probably made that one my lock of the night. But I made the 2 Kalinta Shuffle my lock of the night here for Wayne Baker, shipping in from Golden Gate. Has good gate speed acceleration out of the gate, has been racing against several fields going 5 furlongs, and didn't give up the lead until deep stretch last time out there, and the eventual winner closed from the back of the pack. The runners that he dueled with, they were pretty much at bay there at third and fourth. So I like the speed of the two, and I think the main rival was going to be the four. So that's why I decided to just make this one the two, the lock of the night, and see if he can outbreak the four, Captain Walker.
Yeah, I went with the two on top as well, but just because it had been, you know, really fast up north. It was on the turf. That's the only knock I could give this horse, mm-hmm. but I really like the four in second. I think all you need to do here is go 2-4.
Mm-hmm.
The four looks awfully tough just based on the maiden win. It went 45-62, and that beats all the other Lo Sal runners that have already tried here. But I went over across town to Santa Anita for 5.5, and it just weakened there, but did show speed. But I think maybe that opens it up for the two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe Captain Walker really remembers that Santa Anita speed, and Kalyna Shuffle can just stay with him early. For a price, I went with the one horse in third, Hidden Crook, based off that maiden win. I don't think this horse is going to stay up with the 2-4, but I did like it was closing 2 outs back,
mm-hmm.
and maybe it can get a nice trip just sitting in and stalking these two.
Yeah, and interesting to note about the one. Juan Sanchez has been riding the one last time out. He's going to get off the one to ride the two, but I do agree. I think it's a two-horse race between the 2 and 4. The 1 and 5 will probably be right there for the minor places. And I don't know what to make about the 6-horse, Big Bad Badman, coming in from Turf Paradise. Had previously run here at Lo Sal, but had not made much of an impact. Mm-hmm. We'll see what that horse can improve coming back to Lo Sal. But we agree 2 and 4 are the two runners here in race number 2.
Yeah, I went 2-4-1.
All right, race 3. We got maidens going 300 yards. 6250 is the claiming price for this field of 8. This probably was a head scratcher type of race for me. I could have gone a few different ways. Ultimately, I landed with the 5-6 Arun Bella for Jesus Nunez, E.G. High Desert Farms. Has improved a little bit in each and every start and hasn't been the best of trips in each start. So I still think there's more to give there. And that one with the class drop down to this level for the first time, we'll get my check mark here.
Yeah, I went to the 1, Rock on Foose, mm-hmm. down along the inside for Matt Fales. His horse is coming in from Turf Paradise. I probably would have liked if this horse was given a work over the track one time, but just comes in off that April 29th race in a fraternity consolation. Had Rodrigo aboard, and looks like it was in close and just weakened there at the end, but this time they put the blinkers on. I like that aspect. And then I think they spotted this horse really well the first time. They just dropped him down to the 6250 level. I gave him a big look.
Yeah, so I'll go 5-4 Summertime Hawk off of that good second place finish last time out. Much improved for Jaime Gomez. And the one there is my third choice, Rock on Foose for Matt Fell. So I'll go 5-4-1.
Yeah, I went 1-4-7.
Okay.
I like the Paul Jones runner there on the outside. Gets Ayala up. Going from Lozano to Ayala, I think that's a pretty big switch.
Mm-hmm.
And was only beaten 1.5 lengths there. And 16:02 was a pretty decent time for this level. I think, you know, if you go, you know,
1590?
Yeah, I was going to say 1585, 1590 in that range. And so he's not too far off. If Ayala can improve, this horse could be right there.
Yeah, drawn to the outside, you got to pay attention there for Jones and Ayala. So tricky race. That'll be the third race on the program. I'll go 5-4-1.
1-4-7.
All right, there we go. Race number 4, the Invitational. This is usually a very good race to close out the pick 4 because we have a lot of the runners that didn't quite make the final top 10 for the big one. They get to run here for the Invitational. We got a full field of 10. And you could probably guess who I like, but I want to hear who you like first.
I went to the 10 on the outside.
Okay.
Corona Crush.
My second choice, yeah.
I think this horse is pretty quick, but has had trouble in the last pair. But it has been running against SC Moneymaker, you know, powerful favorite. So, you know, if you make a mistake against those, you're pretty much done with. But I go back to the maiden race against Stevie Flash and Champs, and I like my chances. You know, that proved to be a pretty productive race. And Corona Crush drawn on the outside can stay out of trouble and break quickly. I think has a big shot.
Yeah, I agree. That's my second choice. My top choice is going to be the 1, Corona My Corona, who actually You know, I thought this horse was going to move up a lot more than what this horse ran in the trials there, but just ran into a monster that night. Wicked Affair came back and just trounced the field. But I like how this one matured visually. Was very green kind of in the first two starts, and then looked a little bit better in the trials. So we'll see what this horse can do now. Maybe he's starting to figure it out. I'm going to pick on top, 6-1. Diablo stays aboard. He's gotten to know this horse twice now. Mm-hmm. And last time I thought he could have finished second by a better margin. He probably could have been in the third place horse by 3/4 of a length, or maybe even a length, if he really settled down and ran through his race. So I'll pick Corona by Corona on top. The 10 is my second choice. And then the 7, Press of Lights for Jose Flores and Janet McHenry. I like the debut win, two starts back. How well this horse broke. Then came back and had a rough trip in the trials there behind fellow rival BF Farmhand. But I'm going back to that debut. I like what I saw. I think this horse can improve. So I'll give him my third choice. So I'll go 1-10-7.
I win 10-1-3. Mm-hmm. I like BF Farmhand, but I think we're both in the same boat. We're trying to beat this horse.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of these horses tend to not break, you know, that well.
Mm-hmm.
But and this time is drawn between, while last time was drawn on the far outside. And I think that had a big, big play in catching one berry there. But drawn in between, I think maybe can get into some trouble. So I'm going to try and beat the 3. I went 10-1-3.
Yeah, and this is probably where I'll probably just go 2 deep. Or maybe 3. I've got 1-10-7, 1-10-7-4. So I'm just trying to beat the 3 because if it wasn't for the outside post last time, he wouldn't have had a path to close and make that big run on the outside. So I'm not convinced that the 3 can break good, and I think he's going to get into a little bit of trouble. So I'll go 1-10-7.
Yeah, I went 10-1-3. I like the same thing you said about the 4. I think that's a quick horse and is pretty competitive. If the 4 can outbreak the, you know, the 3, you know, maybe can just shut them off there. Might be all over right there.
Yeah, so that's going to be an interesting way to close out the early pick 4 on Sunday night. Race 5, this is the middle race of the sequence. You can start a mid-card double here. We got an 870-yard maiden race. We got a field of 6. The Murray Line Ferret is going to be towards the inside with BS Cyclotron, who crossed the finish line in first, but got DQ'd there and placed second. But it's good to see Omar Santos back, and it's good to see Brian Corner bring this horse back here in the same type of spot. He definitely is a horse to beat, but I'm going to try to beat him.
Oh, okay.
With the horse towards the outside, oh my soul. I don't know how I feel about the rail for the 1. That's my only concern. There's not a lot of competition in this field. Once again, I think this is a 2-horse race between the 1 and the 6. But I'll pick the 6 on top, mainly just because of the outside post and making the second start of the distance. Yeah. So Kenny McDade gets aboard. She is going to be riding at 117 on the program. Technically, there's no apprentice allowance, but that lower weight could prove the difference there.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 5 pounds of difference between the 1 and the 6. So I'll go 6-1-2.
I went with the 1 on top. I do see what you're saying about drawing the rail. It broke a little slow last time and got bumped. Definitely can't have that happen here.
No.
But you know, this is one of my favorite plays is playing a horse that got DQ'd out of a maiden win and gets to go right back in and actually beat the 6 in that race. So I give that horse a big look. I put the 6, Oh My Soul, in second for all the reasons you said. And then I went with the 4, Machete, for Jesus Mendoza, because I really like when he goes 870. I think he does very well. The works haven't been the greatest, but he does have a pretty good work on June 1st. Worked 2 out of 20 that day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and gets Edgar Payeras aboard. So anytime he gets aboard, I think you got to give a horse a look.
Yeah, all right. So that's going to be another race that we think is between the top 2, 1 and 6. And you like the 4 there to complete the exotics. I'll give the 2 there a shot, maybe at a price for the exotics. So that's race number 5. Race 6, the start of the late pick 4. And this was a tricky race. I don't know. I haven't finalized my pick 4, but I'm leaning more towards an all button for me.
Okay.
Because I can make a case for a few of these runners. Overall, I'll give the check mark to the two-way Cajun Diva off of that good win last time out. Drew the outside and won pretty much going away on the outside with Oscar Peinado. Now in the barn of vanities, Amudio and Cesar de Alba gets aboard. We've seen how good these connections have done with these kind of moves.
Yes.
So I'll go with the six, with the two on top here in race number six.
I went to the outside for my dad. He usually doesn't claim quarter horses that much. So for him to drop in here and get one for a claiming price, I like it. And he draws the outside here. You know, pretty good breeding. I think we actually used to own the dam of this horse, Nimble.
Nimble.
If I'm not sure, she was out of another one, Shrug. But I like where this horse is drawn. I like going from Ulysses to Oscar Peinado. Did lose to Cajun Diva last time, but I'm hoping that maybe we can improve this one, and the post draw really helps.
And she's been consistent. I think that's what they've seen in her form, that she's pretty much fired each and every start other than the debut when she got fractures. But she's been right there in the mix of things, and she could be a good claim here for $5,000. I like the six for my second choice. The four will probably be my third choice there for Matt Fells, another one coming in from Arizona. Won on debut back in November. Competed in a futurity there, finishing eighth. But this one has some talent. We know this one can run fresh. So I'll go 2-6-4.
Yeah, I went 6-4-2. Just a little bit of a reverse order. I thought the same angles of the other Matt Fales runner we talked about earlier. I thought this horse was well spotted for the debut here at Los Al, and actually has run against horses from here already in Dating Game and TR Hit and Run. So I think just dropping down to the 8,000 level could be really competitive.
By the way, we agreed on a lot of races last time out. We did pretty well again.
That's it. I said last time, don't be scared when we like horses. I mean, even in the six, I mean, like you said, it's a pretty mixed bag here of horses. Yeah. But you know, when we lock in, it's nothing to be scared
of. No, I think we agreed. I want to say more than half of the card.
Yeah.
And we were pretty much spot on in a lot of those. So we'll pat ourselves on the back for that one. Who was it? Tori, a fellow listener.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the six now listeners of the podcast.
We're moving up.
He mentioned, he's like, you guys agreed again. And, you know, if the history proves correct, you guys will probably do okay.
Look, when you sit down and you handicap a card, you want to pick, you know, who you think is the best. Mm-hmm. You can't really go out there and think about, especially since a lot of the times I do these without the morning line, and you know, you have to wonder what Burgart's going to do. But just make your picks, and if people like them, you know, just chalk that up to good handicap.
So shout out to Tori for listening to the podcast. He's a fellow listener.
Oh, he'll get a kick out of that. He'll be a big slip. He actually goes to the Valencia bowling alley, and he'll bet horses, and he'll give out horses to people there, and they really think he's a celebrity now.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, he's always there, and he's playing the races every night.
All right, so shout out to Tori there, playing some bowling and playing the ponies. So we arrived to one of the few two-year-olds that I hyped up on Twitter, and it was pretty much pretty late into the two-year-old season. I'm talking about the eight, Provodnikov here for Paul Jones. I knew, well, looking at the workout before this horse debuted, I knew he was going to need longer distance. So I wasn't expecting a huge effort first time out because he didn't show that gate witness, and that he got into trouble because of that there and finished an even six, but had plenty of run past the wire. Since then, he's been gelding. And I believe, I think Paul Jones said he kind of worked this one or kind of galloped in, and he looked much better if I remember last time I saw him. So I like the outside draw. Ayala stays aboard. First time gelding. I think he's really going to improve second time out. The only horse he's got to worry about is probably be the one here for me. Mm-hmm. What a Eagle for Ricardo Guillen. One Dash in Eagle and What a Knack out there. So you see some breeding lines there, some winning breeding lines. That's probably the horse I can step up, but I'm going to give the edge to the eight. If this horse would have not been the morning line favorite, I most definitely would have made this one my lock of the night. But either way, I'm 100% going to single and see if we can get something out of Provodnikov here, because I think they're going to try to run this horse back on Governor's Cup Futurity Trials.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the eight looks really tough after having that bad start. You know, just got bumped repeatedly. but it was running against Sad Face Emoji mm-hmm. and Accommodating. You know, those are two horses that are flat of the form. The one, just from the works, this horse worked really nicely, had a 12-20 gate work and 12-10, and was just underhand urging throughout yes. and won both drills. Ricardo Guillen has already fired with first-time starters yes. we saw in the kindergarten fraternity trials, and both of them happened to be along the rail.
Was it Miss KO?
Miss KO, and I can't think of
what's the other one.
The other one at the moment, but...
But well, Miss KO was one of them, for yeah, sure.
Yeah, and they both fired from mm-hmm. along the rail. Yes. So nothing to be scared of there. Just looked really strong in both works. If I had to go with another one, I would go with the 4, Hamilton. Uh-huh. A bit of a price there at 6-1.
That was a good second to search back.
Yeah, he's been running against Conquering Marie, and the 1-2 outs back you speak of was Pull the Trigger, who I think is really, yeah. really nice for Scott Willoughby. I think that horse is really going to be something to deal with down the line. And then in the next start back, just had a pretty bad start and then veered out and bumped again at the eighth pole. And now was actually running against Wilder Ways, who I believe came back and won the trial yeah. in the Ed Burke mm-hmm. and paid pretty well. So I think Ayala hops off this one and goes to the 8. I think that's definitely the strongest play. But, yes. you know, Hamilton's got a shot to make some noise here.
All right, so I'll go 8-1-2. I'll give the other first-time starter a look here. Worked 12-20 on the 2nd of June there for Valentin Zamudio, who's the owner as well. So I'll go 8-1-2, but definitely all my chips will be on the 8 here for Paul Jones and Ayala on the outside. All right, the late double of the card, we got race number 8, 300 yards and allowance. 9 winners of 1 on the year. We got a field of 5, but it's a very competitive field of 5.
Yeah.
And I want to hear your thoughts first. What did you like here?
This will be my single of the night.
Oh, okay, okay.
I'm going with the 2. Even though yes. I don't like the 2 hole, okay. I'm yeah. going with Gronkowski.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
First time at Los Al last time, and just ran into a really tough horse
monster.
That night.
Yeah, monster that night.
Katie Easy Moves. That's got to be one of the top times
for sure
of the year. You know, went 15:27. He posted 15:44, which is going to put him in the winner's circle if he can improve. You know, just a little bit off that. I like that he's drawn between Western Coast and Time for Stoli. I don't think they're the toughest of runners, and I think the 4 and the 5, you know, aren't running as well as they have in the past. So I gave Gronk my single of the night.
Ooh, that's kind. So. If people are listening, they might want to go all single, and then all hope for some chaos in the nightcap. But I do agree. I gave Gronkowski my check mark too. I think the main threat is the class, which is the 4 Elicity for Juan Elliman. And Juan got a qualifier into the final. Kind of a snuck one in.
Yeah.
If I remember on trials night for Patty Riley. But Elicity is a back class there for this 4-year-old filly. By Apolitical Jess out of Flame and Flash. He trained the sire. He trained the dam. And he's done a good job here with Elicity. So I think the main threat to Gronkowski is the 4. For third choice, I could probably flip a coin between the 1 and the 5. But I'll go with the 1 time for Stoli. Searching out the 300 for the first time in a while. Maybe this horse has some sharpened speed out of those 4 100-yard dashes. So I'll go 2-4-1.
I put the 5 in second. Okay. We like Corona because I like the outside post for this horse. And Elicity can't really be relied upon for a really fast start. And I would like to think that We Like Corona is going to outbreak him. So I put him in the second spot. And then I put the 1 time for Stoli in third. You know, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm not sure coming out of those 100-yard races if he's going to have the stamina for a 300-yard race. But you know, definitely the lower distances are the best for this horse, but I think being next to Gronkowski, he's just going to have to settle for the minor placings.
All right, we're all in on Gronk. We like Gronk.
That sounds good to me.
All right, let's go. All right, race number 9, the featured event, the Ed Burke Million Futurity, $1 million plus on the line, 2-year-olds going 350 yards, and what a field of 10 we've got.
Yes.
You know, we hyped up this crop of 2-year-olds before they hit the ground. And so far, they've lived up to expectations.
Yes.
It's been a terrific crop. We've got 4, 5, 6 runners that I think could win this race. And other than that, you're going to get a solid price on a few runners. I think you can guess who I like. I wasn't really sure with with you after trials night. But I think I've got an idea. But I'll let you go first. Let me see who you like.
Okay, I went to the 8 powerful favorite.
Ah, yes.
This has just been my top 2-year-old from the works. Had a really nice debut, but I thought was really impressive there in his fraternity trial against SC Moneymaker, where he was broken, bumped, and was lugging in, but was still catching SC Moneymaker with every stride. I like that this horse is drawn towards the outside. We just need to have a clean break, you know, because being drawn outside after what we saw in the kindergarten, where we kind of had everybody lugging in there, and Wicked Affair came away with a clean trip. We're definitely going to need a clean start for Powerful Favor, but I really like this horse tonight.
You want to talk about a visually impressive second? That's it right there, Powerful Favor. He was making up tons of ground on the winner, SC Moneymaker. And, you know, that dam, Remember Re Rose, she's been dropping runners left and right. And she has another one here for the Rosenthal Ranch. Chris Odell, Eduardo Nicasio stays aboard. And I did not pick the favorite either. We're going against Wicked Affair.
Okay. Who'd you go with?
Wave her down.
All right.
I was visually impressed with this horse. The final trial of the night there really leveled out nicely and improved there, 1756, which was the fourth fastest qualifier. And I was just visually impressed how well she did, how much mature she looked from first start to second out. And then the breeding is there. She's bred to be a good one. She's obviously shown she can possibly a real good one. It's going to be one of the steps to take here in the Ed Burke. Cody Jensen comes into town to ride this one with Ayala. Talk about Ayala. I mean, he had a few different choices to go.
Yep.
I mean, but he had to stick with the runner that got him the big futurity win. So you can't blame him there. Sticking with Wicked Affair. And Wicked Affair drawing the outside is going to make him a tough horse to beat. But we're both searching for kind of that middle price. I'm going to weigh her down at 4-1. I'm surprised Powerful Favorite is 3-1. But
yeah,
I do think Wicked Affair is going to be your post-line favorite. But then I also think SC Moneymaker is going to take more money than the 8.
Gosh, like you said, it's just so competitive.
It is.
Along through here. I mean, both of us, we're just... Are you, you're checking out SC Moneymaker?
I have him or do you third. Have,
okay,
I know,
third.
I have him fourth. Four? I have him fourth, yeah.
Okay, yeah, he's probably in my fourth spot. But, yeah. I mean, my top three, Powerful Favorite, yes. Wicked Affair, and Waver Down. I think the only one I really like as a standout is Powerful Favorite. Uh-huh. But I think it's more sentiment.
Yes.
On my side, but really it's interchangeable between these three horses, because Waver Down, I think once she got a clean start, really showed the potential that she had, and she just dominated that night, and getting that 4-1, you know, I think that's really good value. But Wicked Affair, I think just getting that outside post is really going to play into her favor again. In case there's any shenanigans that go again, you know, after what we saw in the kindergarten, I think that's a really nice place to be. But God, I mean, what a field!
It's tough. I really like these 2-year-olds. I mean, if you take away the morning line odds and just look at the field top to bottom, I mean, I'm scared that Dexter is going to be too good of a price to ignore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scared that Apolitical Pence could put it all together second time locally over this. Over the start, over the track here, and you're talking about the 2-4 being 20-1 on the morning line.
Yep.
Those are horses that I would not leave out of any kind of a exotics. And then Striver, who just finished second to Wicked Affair in the kindergarten, that was 15-1.
Yeah.
I mean, this field is stacked top to bottom. The top four, I'll go 5, 10, 8, 3.
I went just a little reverse, 8, 10, 5, 3 for me.
All right, give me the long shot. You would not leave out.
I would go with the 1, Mr. Apolitical.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I think drawing along the rail can be beneficial in these types of races where some trouble can occur. And he's been another one that's been highly regarded, I think, all year round. But... you know, just had a little bit of trouble there in the debut, but in the fraternity trial, you know, really kicked it in. Wasn't that strong of a trial. Quick to royalty, you know, for Paul, I think has shown some stuff from the works, but hasn't really shown it at night a whole bunch. But I think that would be my, I think that would be my long shot for 30-1 and draws along the rail. You know, you can get some upsets from that post position.
For me, it'll probably be the Ford Dexter. We know this horse doesn't, that this is not a problem for him. If he can just improve a little bit out of the gate, he's going to be right there. That's the horse that scares me. So if you're looking for a long shot on my part, I'll settle on the Ford Dexter. But
I think that was a lot of long shot plays on Futurity Trial.
Yeah, that was my long shot play on the program. I do a lock and a long shot.
Yeah.
Dexter was my long shot play, and I got the job done there 8-1. Anytime you're going to get Jaime Gomez at 8-1, a horse that's undefeated there,
yep,
a 2-for-2, and now you're going to get him 20-1. A horse that had improved from the first out to the second out. I mean, that's a horse I'm scared of. So somewhere, somehow, I'm not going to leave Dexter out.
Okay. So, I think all the way through, it looks pretty competitive. I mean, even Patty Riley, who looks like he's been improving with each start, and I think the longer distances have suited this horse. I mean, he's at 30-1 as well.
And he won nicely. He won easily there.
Yeah, I think he's pretty impressive. He took a really big step forward in that one. I think you're getting a nice price on him. Who else? Stryver, we already talked about. Just Macho Corona. Just finished half a length back of Dexter, but was gaining on that horse, you know, in the end. So maybe that one can turn it up a little. Cesar de Alba, big money rider, gets aboard that one. So it'll be a tough final. We'll see what happens. I hope it's cleaner than the last one.
Exactly.
That's what I don't want any excuses for anybody. And let the cards fall where they may.
Exactly. That's what I'm hoping for. So I'll pick Waiver Down. You go with Powerful Favorite.
Yes.
And if they improve, they're going to be tough to beat. But all eyes will be on Wicked Affair on the outside. Can this horse sweep the first two big Futurities of the season? We'll find out on Sunday night in race number 9. All right. That's a fun look ahead for Sunday night. Anything else for the after show?
Have you been watching any Royal Ascot?
I know. I was catching my Z's. The Babby therapist was keeping me up late. So
I know you were firing on which color the queen was wearing,
I
right?
Did. Yeah, that was my proper bet. But no, I did catch all the recaps. Shout out to Candace Hare, another one of the listeners. I think we're up to 7 now.
Excellent.
She picked a 50-1 winner during the season. So as always, been fun. And I'm going to see if I can drag her over here and see if we can have her on the podcast.
She said that she's has to come out for tacos one of these nights, correct? I hear every now and then
she
that she's going to come out.
She came out a few months ago. She told me, she's like, hey, I'm coming out. What they did, Corinda, coming out. I think she came out on a trials night, which was fun. So I'm going to see if I can get Candace back out here. And if we can, we'll pick up some tacos from Shawnee's and debate a little bit of quarter horse racing on the podcast. But World Cup, have you been watching World Cup soccer at all?
I have. I haven't been keeping up with today's scores. I know Brazil won.
Yes.
And then I heard a little bit of Nigeria.
Nigeria won.
Okay. But I'm a big France guy. France is my team.
France, yeah.
Nobody come at me with that I'm not rooting for America because obviously we're out. But when America starts taking soccer seriously,
you're exactly.
Then I will get behind them.
Poor Landon Donovan got so much flack for I think he sent out a tweet that he was supporting Mexico now or something.
Yes.
He played in the Mexican League. You got to give him some slack. I mean, he's fluent in Spanish. He grew up in Southern California. He's pretty sure he's got a lot of Mexican friends. But a lot of people are like, you can't root for your rival or whatever.
Yeah. Can I just say to people, just because you root for another national team soccer team doesn't mean you're a horrible person.
Exactly.
Okay. you don't have to roast the guy just because he was wearing, what was it? The Mexico scarf.
I think he was wearing the scarf. Yeah.
I mean, just leave him alone. He's just watching. He's not even playing anymore. I know. So, yeah, I've been keeping up a little. Obviously, like I said, France is my team.
Argentina's in trouble, which was a big shocker.
Argentina, Messi, his body language has looked horrible.
Cristiano Ronaldo has been the guy so far. He has scored every goal for the Portugal national team so far. He's looked like the world's best player as of right now. But it's been fun keeping up. I think it's gonna get a lot more fun now. because we're going to get games during the week. So that's going
to
be fun.
Yeah, it's always hard to watch them because they're so early. So you got to wait till 3 or 4 o'clock to watch the replay show on them. That's the only hard part.
So we'll see. We'll leave it at that and see where we're at next week with the World Cup. All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
All right. Bye, everybody.
See ya.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.